May only His word be spoken, only His word heard. Amen. Ashamed of Jesus from our gospel lesson in Mark chapter 8. Now you've heard the scripture. It was very well read by Stephanie. Thank you very much. But I want you to hear a part of it again, just a small part of it, and then I have a question for you. But I want you to hear it as if it's being spoken directly to you. Okay? And see if it doesn't make clear sense to you what Jesus is saying. And he called to him the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? For what can a man give in return for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." Now, how do you feel about these words? Yeah, I mean, your emotion. What does it elicit from you? Apprehension, fear, or have you heard words like this many times before and you're kind of dismissive? I mean, you can't take them too literally. Before we look more closely at these words, kind of line by line, you must understand something, and many of you already do. Jesus is the gateway to every good thing in life. He is the very definition of love. He brings satisfaction, joy, hope, and peace, and every blessing. So when he says the words that he does say, he knows what is at stake. That if you miss him, you miss everything. Everything. Now to his words. If you are to follow me, you must deny yourself. So we are to say no to our natural desire for ease and comfort or anything that deters us from saying yes to Jesus. We hand over our lives to Christ, saying no to self-serving and self-will. We belong to Him. He purchased us. We go with what He says. Take up your cross. When someone was crucified by the Romans as part of the humiliation and the punishment, they would make you carry your own cross. You were naked as you carried the cross, humiliation, all the rest of it. Right? Jesus is saying it is so important, so very important to follow him that we are to throw all ideas of safety and peace if it means separation from him. We should be willing to actually die for him. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and the sake of the gospel will save it. If it is your aim to live as trouble-free of life, possibly avoiding all that is uncomfortable, risky, then you're apt to lose your life. If it's because we care more about what our friends think than our faith in Christ, we will lose our life. We were meant to spend our life for Him and for others. It is far better to burn out than rust out. The verdict on a successful life depends on what God thinks, not what other people think. So what does it profit us to gain the whole world but lose our soul? Our sinful human nature tells us the goal of life should be to become wealthy, become successful, powerful, well-liked. It should be a goal on pleasure and all manner of self-pleasing. But it is in grasping these things that we're tempted away from Christ, and it actually causes us to lose our life, and we can lose it for all eternity. We care again more what people think of us than what Jesus thinks of us. We hide our relationship with Jesus. It's okay to praise Him in church, but outside these confines, well, it may be offensive to people. You know, there's so many false notions about this section of Scripture. Chief among them concerns the phrase, to bear one's cross. Let's begin by acknowledging what that doesn't mean. It does not mean in times of adversity with a whiny voice we say, I guess it's just my cross to bear. It's probably the most abused phrase on the planet Earth. Right? People can't get their nails to grow right. Oh, it's just the cross I bear. Can't get our children to behave. Just the cross I bear. Can't get my husband to stop snoring. Just the cross I have to bear. You shouldn't be looking at your husband right now. There was a woman who had a rattle in a dashboard of her BMW, a brand new BMW. She took it to the dealership. The mechanic went over it every which way possible, taking off the dashboard and everything. He could not find that rattle. No matter how hard he tried. Oh well, said the woman, it's just my cross and I'll have to bear it. Ridiculous! This is not what Jesus is saying. This is all ridiculous. When you bear Jesus' cross, you're not doing any of those things. You are saying that you are willing to serve God and willing to serve others. You are willing to put aside selfish concerns and focus your attention on God's kingdom. If it costs you money, if it costs you some of your precious time, if you have to get out of your comfort zone, it's just what you'll have to do. When you bear your cross, God's will and His word comes first. Another mistaken interpretation of this word has to do with TV preachers and other preachers who own jets, who have million-dollar mansions, who wear diamond rings on their fingers, who can't say no to their earthly lusts, but preach you ought to follow Christ by giving them money. On the other hand, we don't follow Christ and His words here in this gospel by walling ourselves off from the world and living private Christian lives. There was a saint in the 16th century. He's called a saint. Unfortunately, he was given the name Saint Abraham, not the real Abraham. Didn't act like the real Abraham. On the night before his wedding, Saint Abraham flew the coop and headed to the desert. He left a woman at the altar, I guess you'd say. For the next 50 years, he walled himself up in a little cell in a monastery, a little opening where he would receive food, but otherwise he didn't have contact with people. Gave away everything he owned to the poor. That was good, I guess. Finally, after 50 years, a bishop talked him into going to preach to a nearby village. Many were greatly moved by his preaching. But for 50 years, he didn't use his gift for God. He wasted his life. Now, Jesus didn't withdraw from the world, and neither should we. Now, I want to put an aside here. When we're talking about our children, yeah, we need to wall them up. I mean, until they get to an age, because our culture is so wicked, it'll draw them in. So we have to protect them the best we know how. Put a wall in front of them until they're, well, my view is until they go to college, right? so that they have been strengthened by the Word of God and they're ready to deal with a world that is going to try to drag them into all kinds of things that are not God-pleasing. But we adults have been given a grand mission to complete, to spread the gospel throughout the whole world. And you can't do that walling yourself up. You can't do that so private that you don't really talk to people. Now, Pastor, you have said about following Jesus, and my hearing of it, it seems too hard. Way too hard. I believe I'm a failure. To be honest, I am fearful of judgment. Well, I understand this sentiment because I've had it myself. But here's the thing. It's all about your heart. It is not saying that we won't sin, that we won't deny Jesus sometimes. It doesn't mean that, but it's our heart understanding what he's truly done for us and believing in him and believing that he has promised joy, hope, and love, which we already have as believers. And it doesn't mean we're not going to mess up at times, because we will. But we have his grace and we have his forgiveness, so we aspire to live more boldly. Now, I see this unfolding in three ways. Three ways that I'm going to suggest to you that you become a disciple of Jesus, follow him, live for him, and act boldly. Number one, choose your side. Choose your side. Think about this and determine it. Are you going to be on Jesus' side, or are you going to be on the side of an adulterous and sinful generation, world? Choose it. Determine it. Do you remember that scene in Braveheart? Did anybody see the movie Braveheart? Okay. Where Robert the Bruce's evil father is whispering lies and treason and compromise. He says to Robert what the enemy says to us in a thousand different ways. He says, all men betray, all men lose heart. Now, Robert has been through a lot with his father and listened to him, but now he sees things differently, praise God. How does Robert answer? He yells back, I don't want to lose heart. I want to believe like Wallace does. I'll never be on the wrong side again. I'll never be on the wrong side again. That's what I'm asking you to think about. As you go out these doors, I'm never going to be on the wrong side again. I'm never going to be embarrassed by Jesus. I'm never going to be embarrassed by his word. I've taken my stand. I will live for him. Even though I'll fall, even though I'll sin, I know whose side I'm on. I'm on the side of Jesus. Secondly, so, know whose side you're on. Two, don't hide. Many of us need to combat the settled way of living our Christian lives that we have been doing. We hide the fact that we are a disciple. We don't want to be caught praying in public. We don't speak the truth in love and disagree with people who have anti-Christian ideas. We avoid any kind of conflict or embarrassment related to the faith. Let's not do that. Let's risk. Let's not hide where we stand. In a restaurant, pray before a meal. You're not showing off. This is what we do as Christians. Let's be seen reading our Bible or a Christian book in public, not to show off, but not to be scared either. What are we hiding? We don't need to hide. Now, if we're going to change our way of living, it's going to take some thought. You know, I'm going to do this. And you know, Satan's going to say, you're just being proud, you're showing off. No, we're not. We do it humbly. Thirdly and finally, and really in summary, let's act in boldness in the name of Jesus. Being a Christian is serious business. You've heard the gospel today. It is serious business. Have we asked so little of the average Christian nowadays? Come to church when you feel like it. Drop a few bucks in the offering plate. Serve on a committee if it doesn't interfere with your hobby or your TV watching. You know? What Jesus is saying to you and me is, I want you to risk more for me. Come out of your safety and comfort umbrella. Pray more boldly. Talk to others. Take strong stands on the Word of God. Be passionate for your family and lead, guys, I'm speaking to you now, lead your family to Christ. Lead your family to Christ. Serve people who need your help. Be inspired by your fellow Christians, but why don't you be an inspiration to them? Be bold. So there it is. Three simple things to being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Choose your side. Don't hide. Act with boldness in the name of Jesus Christ. And so I say, ashamed of Jesus? How could we be? He is our life. He is our salvation. He is our joy. It's in His name. Amen.